Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministries. My name is Daryl Hikes and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and let's wait 45 seconds, right on time. So, hey, let's pray and just get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that it's all of you, none of me, and I thank you that your word accomplishes that which it is supposed to do, which is reach into the hearts of people and cause a change that can never, ever, ever be erased. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, and for your love towards us as a Father. It's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic, awesome name of Jesus that I pray. And if you're listening and you heard that prayer and you agree with it, simply say amen. All right, today it's going to be different. Today is what I've titled it. Normally I haven't been doing Blog Talk Radio during the week. I would wait till Sunday, but why not? I mean, it's always a good time for the Word of God. I know it is. I get it. I mean, the Word, it's always a good time for God's Word. So today I just want to talk about what happened concerning my mom. I know I've done it in past teachings and so forth, but there are a lot of people out there that have went through some traumatic things concerning the pandemic, COVID-19, you know, questions about vaccinations, family members that have left this planet, you know, being on ventilators, intubation tubes being put in, you know, all kinds of stuff have went on. And I'm not saying it's not out there, but I haven't seen too many people. I haven't heard much talk about or talk to someone that actually has went through these things. And yet, I mean, praise God. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm just going to just go ahead and share information about my experience and what I've been through. Now, the Word of God is your foundation. I can share with my experience, which is really a testimony to God's goodness, even in the midst of someone leaving this planet. You know, it especially if you know they went to heaven. Well, how do you know they went to heaven? Because we had a conversation about it. That's why. It's like, you know, I'm going to go to Florida, and I tell some family members, hey, I'm going to Florida. And when it's time to go to Florida, I prepare. I do what I need to do. I make reservations. If I need to rent a car, if I want to drive my own vehicle, I go ahead and get tickets. If I'm going to, now you got to be mindful. There's Disney World and then there's Disneyland, because you know one is in Orlando and then the other one is in California. So, but if I want to go, I need to make preparations. I need to prepare. It's like, if you know, which I'm going to show you a scripture that says it's appointed for unto men. That means the human race to die once. Then when death shows up, you need to have already made it. I would recommend you have already made a decision concerning what's next after the death shows up. And death comes in, you know, I heard this lady say yesterday how it's, and please understand my heart when I'm saying this, to just leave, to just go quickly without suffering and pain and, you know, all of that. Because once a person is actually dead, they're no longer suffering. It's the people that are alive that see them suffering. Those are the ones, the memories that are still stuck in their head. And so, okay, with that being said, first of all, I want to say something, because I'm definitely going to send this link to my uncles, my aunts, those people that are close to my mom, because there are some things that happen that, unless you have the details, the intricate workings of something and you have information that you just don't get on the surface, it can give you a different perspective as to what happened, and it can also cause healing to come in. So one thing I found out after my mom passed away, or excuse me, she didn't pass away. She just went to a different location. She just left this planet, and then she went to a different location. The location is called heaven. Well, how do you know heaven is real? Well, the Bible tells me that I am to live by faith, and faith involves believing something that you cannot necessarily see, but it also has substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you can't necessarily see with your natural physical eyes. I'll give you an example. You know, you cannot see air with your natural physical eyes, but if we suck all the air out of the room, you know without a shadow of a doubt air does exist, because your lungs will tell you right away, we need air. Now, if air didn't exist, why would your lungs need it? I know you have a brain. Now, we don't necessarily see your brain, but I know you have one. But we can't see it, but we still believe. You know, I used to use this example of when I lived in Atlanta, the Atlanta Braves would play. And I wasn't at the game, but I knew they won or lost or whatever, whichever the situation was. But I didn't have to be at the game to believe that they actually played. And so there are a lot of things that we believe without seeing. But then when it comes to the Bible, there's a tendency to question it because it's God. And I know that's just the enemy trying to, you know, work on. If he can get you to believe that God isn't, that's the greatest deception. Number one, for the enemy to get you to believe that it doesn't exist. And then number two, to get you to believe that what God said won't happen in your life. And so a lot of people walk around, you know, wondering if God is real, yet they've already decided based on somebody else's opinion that God doesn't exist. So let's just deny his existence. And in a lot of situations, well, every situation in life, most of the time he's the only one that can help you. Do you realize that your heart beats without you telling it? Think about that. Your heart beats without you telling it. Your lungs process air without you telling it. Your brain processes information without you even telling it. Okay, that was good. That made me aware. That's called a self-awareness. Like, whoa, I guess there is. Let me just say this. What happened is after my mom passed away, what I did, number one, I got her medical records because I wanted to see exactly, you know, what happened. Now, my motive for getting her medical records was wrong, because what I did was I made copies of her medical records because I felt like when she went to the hospital, you know, they should have done this, they should have done that. I wasn't there. And my motive was to try to submit the medical records to a medical board so they could see if there were any problems or if there was anything wrong or the hospital messed up. And God quickly got my attention, and he said, if you harbor that ill will towards the people that were actually helping your mom, that will fester in your heart, it will grow, it will turn into a root of bitterness, and eventually it'll lead you down a path you do not want to go. So this getting upset with people that are, you know, as a Christian, I can't hate someone. It's not a part of my nature. It's not right. It's not right. Because how can I have ill will or hate someone when my Lord and Savior asks me on a continual basis to forgive people that do things that I do not like? If he can hang on a cross, totally naked to the world, nails through his wrist, nails through his ankle bones, because if you study it out, they didn't drive it through the top of the foot. They drove it through the ankle bone, which was the most excruciating pain you could experience in that area. That was the whole goal. And if he can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, how much more can I be of a forgiving heart? How much more? Jesus said, you'll do greater works. I'm going to the heaven. Now, I understand that that's talking about broader in, you know, the number of people, or, you know, it could be greater in extent. It could be greater in outcome. It could be greater in all those areas, but it also is greater in forgiveness. When it comes to forgiving, you have to have a capacity to forgive everybody, no matter what. We can't just pick and choose, well, I'm going to forgive this person, but I'm going to hold on to that. And I can tell whether or not you forgive somebody. I just sit and listen to you for a little while, listen to you talk. Yeah. Now we get to the meat of the matter. We get down to, you know, we say we're Christians. Well, it's time to live it. It's time to live it. So what I did, I was looking through some paperwork, and I didn't realize that my mom had been diagnosed with 29 different, there were 29 different diagnoses that she was dealing with in her physical body. There was dizziness, hypertension, allergies, dyspnea, D-Y-S-P-N-E-A, which is, that deals with breathing, an abnormal chest x-ray, dysuria, frequency of, there was GERD, elbow pain, otalgia, early satiety, let's see, S-A-T-I-E-T-Y. These terms I should know. I spent 6 years in the medical field. It's just been a while since I've seen the actual medical spelling of it. Neck pain, herniated cervical disc, hypokalemia, which I should know because I know hypo is low, fatigue. You know, there was a screening for a lipoid disorder. But there are 29 different things that are listed. Now, see, and then it's not on here, but arthritis was also one of them that I read in another medical report related to my mom. And there were some other things because on her actual, the report after she went on to heaven. And the thing is, my mom, she didn't die. October the 26th of 2020 was the day that they listed that she expired. But 2 weeks prior to that, actually back on October the 11th, that's when she was sedated. They put on a ventilator, and from that point on, she was no longer conscious. And when I say conscious, I'm talking about, like, you know, to where you're up and you're talking to people and you're like that. So she was gone 2 weeks prior, you know. So there was no suffering. Now, when we saw the physical body, it was a whole different ballgame. But my mom had left, and I shared it in a text message. There was a guy. My brother and I went to visit my mom on. We went to see her in the hospital. I think it was like the Tuesday, probably like October, maybe like 19th or maybe 20th or something, somewhere around there of 2020, and there was a guy in the room, and his name was Jesus. And I said, oh, is it spelled just like Jesus? And he said, yes. And the guy, he said, I'm just here to check on your mom. And I think he looked at a tube, and then he just left. And there was really no conversation, but there was a peace in the room. And I need to go back and find out if he's on staff. And, you know, because I don't want to. You can verify divine appointments. I'll put it like that. Because if this guy, if he's not on staff, or they have, you know, if I call up there and they say, well, no, we never, there's nobody ever worked here named Jesus, I'll know. I will know exactly what was going on in that room that day. Now, that doesn't mean going around looking for, you know, God in this and God in that. God knows how to show up. He knows how to manifest himself. So I just wanted to share that there were a lot of things that were going on with my mom's physical body before it hit the point where she actually left this physical world. So and what that can do is that can shed light, like I said, that can really give people a different perspective, because this is what I'm sharing is it's all about healing. It's designed because my mom affected a lot of people. She affected a lot of lives out there. She really did. As I'm talking, you might hear me sniffling, and it's not allergies or nothing like that. What happened is the last 2 days I ate sweets as if there were not going to be any more sweets on the planet. And I wasn't working out, and my physical body responds differently when I put sugar in it because I hardly ever eat sugar. But, you know, I was at home, and I've kind of been on like a little semi-vacation, and I purchased this cake, this triple chocolate cake. It was a smaller one. But the goal was when I purchased it, I bought it and I said, I bought it because I was thinking that my nephews might come over to visit with my dad because I plan on being out of town. But then, and the cake, it would be there for them. Well, they didn't come over and the cake was just there. And then there was some butter pecan ice cream in the freezer. I mean, it wasn't much, but it was enough to pair it up with the cake. And so I warmed up a couple of slices, and then I kind of put a few scoops of the ice cream over the warm cake, and it started, like, it made a little drizzle. And let's just say in a 24-hour period, I went at it. Now, I also understand how to get, you know, that sugar out of my system. You got to, you know, drink plenty of water. I work out. I don't, you know, I know what to do. It's just my body a lot of times will tell me, hey, look, man, you know you can't. You know, there's a price to pay once you do that. Might taste good, but just understand what you're getting into. Okay, we got about 12 minutes left, and I definitely want to get a few scriptures in. Sometimes God will give you a lot of scriptures, and you need to just stick with that. But then sometimes he'll say, okay, you just need to talk to people, to let people know that, hey, I miss her, I love her, but I'm healed. And I refuse to stay in the grieving process, because grief will climb up your back and latch on, and then you'll wind up not living your life. Because God's plan for my life hasn't changed. Trauma should not change, or traumatic events, or they should not change God's will for your life. Now, if you don't know God's will for your life, you'll think the trauma and the tragedy is his will for your life, and it's not. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says that God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Good, to give you a good expected end. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, so God, all of his thoughts towards us are good, of those that are born again. Now, he thinks good, he loves the world, but if you're not willing to join in on what he has for your life, there's not really, I mean, what's he supposed to do? He's not going to force you to do anything. So I just want to share, let's see, I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to share some scriptures, and that'll be it. And I'll probably finish this, what I'm talking about, on Facebook at about like 6:15, because once I get off with this, I'll just switch over to Facebook and then pick up from there. But back in June 2018, God put it on my heart to have a wedding anniversary. My parents' 50th wedding anniversary was June the 26th of 2019, but God said, go ahead and do it a year earlier. You know, now, sometimes you have to just be led by the Spirit of God. Just go ahead and do it. At the time, I didn't know why, because I didn't realize that June of 2019, which was their 50th wedding anniversary, which it was, I was actually going through a divorce, so I wasn't like really going to be focused on trying to do something for them, and I got this drama going on in my life, you know, and just a whole lot of stuff. So he said do it a year earlier. See? Then in June of 2019, my mom, she called me and she said, "Hey, can you come and check on your dad?" And so I came and checked on my dad, and I didn't realize that he was having some health challenges and some things were going on. And so so I ended up moving back here by September of, June of 2020. By that time, I was literally back in Mississippi, and I couldn't understand it. Here I am, 48, you know, 49, you know, 49 years young, and here I am living at home with my parents. And I'm thinking, this is not the will of God for my life. It can't be. There's just no way. Well, there was way. I joined the Air Force when I was 20. When I graduated high school, I went to college up at Itawamba Community College for 1 year. I wasn't ready for college. For me, it was a glorified high school. All I did was hang out, have fun, and that was it. And so I dropped out of college, and I made a decision. If I'm going to waste anybody's money, it should be my own. So I got a job working at Oakland Furniture, a manufacturing company in Oklahoma, Mississippi. So I'm working. Then I get laid off. And I'm drawing unemployment. Then the unemployment ran out. So now here I am, 19 years young, at home, living with my folks. And one day, my mom and I, we had a disagreement. I wanted to use her vehicle, but she didn't want me to use it. So then I said, "Well, just keep your vehicle in." And then I called up a coworker and I said, "Hey, man, can I use your vehicle? Because I wanted to go visit this young lady I was dating at the time. I wanted to go hang out. Actually, I wanted to go behind the school. I was going to visit her too, but I wanted to go behind the school. We got this place where they play ball. It's called Behind the School. That was a hangout spot. That was where you went. I mean, it was like the Plateau in Philly. I mean, the Plateau was bigger, but it's just one of them spots where everybody hang out. People will come from Houston, Aberdeen, Holka, these different cities or towns in, you know, in the area. And so people from Shannon. So, you know, we would go hang out, play ball with your girl, it was just fun. It really was. So she said, "Well, you know, you're not going to use the car," but I figured I'll get up there anyway. I'll do what I got to do. Well, she told my dad about it. So my dad came in from work. He said, "Hey, did you say such and such to your mom?" I said, "Yes, I said that." He said, "Well, you don't talk to your mom like that." And I said, "Okay." And I left it at that. And I knew that day it was time for me to go. Because if I do not want to obey their rules up under their authority, and if I'm going to respond like I did when she told me I was not going to be able to use their vehicle, the vehicle that they're paying for, that I have no ownership in, then it's time for me to get my own. It's time for me to live my own life. So what I did, I joined the Air Force, and basically, I wanted to live in California. I was a Lakers fan. I was San Francisco 49ers fan, L.A. Dodgers, you name it, the L.A. Kings, any sport in L.A., I absolutely Irving Magic Johnson was my favorite basketball player, so I wanted to live in L.A., so you have in the military, you have what's called a dream sheet, where you get to pick three assignments, or your top three assignments stateside, and then you can pick if you want to go overseas or anything. So my top three were bases in California. So, you know, I graduated basic training, and I'm supposed to go to I think it was George Air Force Base in I think it was like Victorville or something like that in California. I'd have to look it up. But I don't go. I get diverted to Tucson, Arizona, Davis Monthan Air Force Base. I get diverted to that base, and so I get there, and I'm loving life. And I do want to say this: if you're in high school or you're in college or you're in your early 20s, you know, and you're just trying to figure life out, make sure you don't make decisions that are going to affect other people in a negative way. I made a decision I was dating a young lady at the time, and I made a decision without even discussing it with her. You don't do stuff like that. That's not good. That's not right. And you shouldn't do that, you know. And I had an opportunity to go back and, you know, apologize and so forth. But, you know, just the decisions you make at any stage in life can affect other people's lives depending on that relationship. So I get stationed in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm living out there. And I just, you know, I would come home maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years. So for a period of about, I'd say 25, 26 years, my family never really saw me, not here in Mississippi. They didn't really see me like that. And after I got married, and my former wife at the time, she told me, she said, you know, you're really not you're not a family guy. You just don't seem like family's important to you. But my thing was, well, you know, I got my family in Christ and I got you, so I'm good. But that's not what she was talking about. See, God needed me here in Mississippi because he already knew my mom was going to leave this planet on October the 26th of 2020. And that's why my mom called me back in 2018 and said, you need to come see about your dad. And so by 2019, I'm coming back here like every holiday, on Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I was here for New Year's of 2020. And then my mom, she was kind of funny because she was slick about it. She said, well, I mean, since you're divorced and, you know, you just kind of, the job you're working, you're just on the road all the time, you might as well just come back here and just stay, you know, stay in the room. It's not like you live here, but, I said, well, let me pray about it. And the Lord said, go. He said, go back and don't look at what people might think. You just go do what I tell you to do. And so I moved back here, and oh, she absolutely loved having her youngest son. She loved having her youngest son here here with her. And I didn't know that my mom, she had stopped driving, and my dad was having some physical challenges, and so I was here to help them. I was able to come back and help and drive them around, and you know, we would talk about stuff, and you know, we were catching up on life, and so it was just an absolute blessing when I got past myself. And so I know I'm sharing a lot. I know this is kind of, it's not weird, but I just wanted to be transparent. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick this up on Facebook. So, hey, if you're not saved, ask God to come in and save you, and ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. That's about the extent of it. I always like to give people the opportunity to get born again. And so, you know, hey, love God, love people, have fun in the process. God loves you. I love you. And my time, as I can see, I got about 17, maybe 16. Well, counting down. Okay, there's the 10-second call. So, hey, I got to go, but I'll be on Facebook here at about like 6:15. All right, so have a great day.